providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that those first two segments with Dana Lyons, where we jumped around to a number of different sectors. In these final two segments, we're going to focus again a lot more on the precious metals, but also talk about the U.S. markets as we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, look, we've had a very nice run in gold, over $200 up in under 2 months. And as we're recording this late in the day on Friday, gold on the futures market is so close to that $2,100 level. Only about $10 off right now. It's been a very strong move, and we've also seen some of the stocks start to turn higher. But first and foremost, let's talk about that move in gold. Doc, what's your takeaway? What are the charts telling you about the potential of gold just continuing to move higher here?
This market looks really good from the standpoint of we're going to close the month out at a new closing high. And that's impressive. That's a positive. We've had 2 months of higher closing highs now. It'll be fascinating to watch what December does. I think, sure, we can move back down. We can test, you know, some lower prices again, and that may happen, but that's okay. But we're in a very good spot right now. The 12-month is back above the 26-month moving average. And as long as we stay above neutral on the MACD or zero, that's a positive for this market. Now, we could move back down a little bit, but that would be okay because I think we're building a strong base here finally. And I think some of the stocks are starting to signal that. But as I said months ago, what you would see is not a V-shaped recovery here, but you're going to start to see higher highs and higher lows on some of these stocks. It's going to be a process until we get a situation again where everybody is upset about the economy and we see inflation move back up or they have to print a lot more money.
Well, Doc, when you look at the longer term charts, as we like to cover with you, when you look at the monthlies, it is encouraging that we just had the highest monthly close ever yesterday. Looks like we're also going to have the highest weekly close today. So that's also of note for the weekly chart. But you had made the case, and we pinned you down on this in our last interview, that you really do think the bottom was in for gold last year when it bottomed at 1618. But moving forward, it sounds like you're a little more cautious as far as the upside in the near term or the medium term. When you look at the monthly and weekly charts to guide your forecast, how are you seeing the more near term, like as we roll into the first quarter of next year?
We could do fairly well. You have three things going here, and we talked about that a little bit before we started the session. And one of the things that has driven this that I never put a lot into is geopolitical events. I think the war in Israel had a lot to do with the initial move in this. Of course, also the feeling by people that the Fed is ready to cut rates again had a positive, and the fact that the bond market in the interim has bottomed out, which I feel it has. But in the long run, I don't think that's going to continue. All three of those situations lends some credence to this move, which could continue for a little while yet. But I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but these people that are talking about rate cuts in March, I don't think they're dealing with reality at all. And I think unless we have sudden deterioration or a black swan that happens, I don't see them cutting rates. They're going to hold them as long as they can get away with before they cut rates.
So, Doc, what has driven this move in gold then? You mentioned geopolitics, but it does seem like at least the war premium is out of these markets, especially when you look at something like oil that really popped when the war in the Middle East started. We've also seen the dollar move down a bit. Just break down exactly what you think these key drivers have been for gold moving higher and challenging these all-time highs.
Well, it's the two things you mentioned was the geopolitical and dollar moving down in the bond market, potentially bottoming, and the fact that people think there are going to be rate cuts. I think you have a confluence of emotions in this market right now that are driving this gold price, which is a that's all right. But I don't see it just taking off yet until I see a real separation of the 12-month moving average from the 26-month moving average. If this month we fall back again, we're going to have those two be in confluence again, which actually is a good thing. I like it because we're gradually moving higher, even though we're moving a little bit laterally on the 12-month and 26-month. And that's very encouraging because there have been times in the past when it did that with on the charts. And generally, that helped move gold slowly up over time before it really took off. So it's positive. But those are the things, is a lowering of the dollar, the emotion by people that think the Fed's going to cut rate by March, and that the rate hikes are over. The geopolitical helped along, but I think people are going to be disappointed as we move into the year as far as when the Fed cuts.
Well, Doc, let's also take a look at silver, because silver has done well. It is up at around 25, 50 and some change now. So it's had a nice move, but it's not nearly in the same position on the charts as gold is. Silver is not getting ready to make a new all-time high. It hasn't had the same kind of strength. Some of that may be that it's not considered the same kind of safe haven and monetary metal that gold is, in light of all those factors you just went over. But that is what tends to drive the speculative side of the precious metal sector, and that is what drives interest also in the stocks. We see more of a correlation between the mining stocks and silver. So how are you looking at silver on the long-term charts?
I think silver is in a nice trading range. It's up, getting close to the upper part of that trading range. And I would have to see a break above the Bollinger Bands on the upper Bollinger Band to get excited about silver. One encouraging thing is the ADX, or the strength indicator, has bottomed out. So that means that either we're going to trade sideways down at this low level for a while, which I think will happen, actually, and keep silver in its range. But that tells me with time, we're going to see that turn up. And when that turns up, I think it's going to be in a bullish manner. And then I think silver takes off. But we could move laterally for a while that way. And so I think silver's in a nice trading range. So silver's chart is looking pretty good, actually.
Regarding that silver chart, at least the monthly one there, Doc, as I guess frustrating as silver has been this year for precious metals investors, you look at the RSI on that monthly chart and it's stayed above 50 pretty much this whole year. The MACD continues to grind higher. And yeah, you're right, the ADX isn't showing a whole lot of direction, but taking into account the RSI and MACD, for a sideways move here, we're still in positive territory on some of these momentum indicators.
Yeah, and that's what encourages me about silver. I don't see a breakdown in silver to any lower levels at all. And I've always said how strong that the gold and silver markets look on the monthly, because the percentage of sell-off we've had is negligible compared to past bear markets for these two. And what that tells you going forward is we're going to have some events that really propel these things higher. And it's going to come. When you see minimal sell-off like that, especially in the gold where it hangs around the highs, that tells you it's an underlying strength to the market. Now, having said that, the stocks certainly have suffered, but that's okay. Because if you're buying into the stocks, you should be buying, and you should be buying next year, because we're getting closer to the end of this bear market than we are when we started it. And that should encourage everybody, because we're getting there. And that's a positive.
Well, Doc, let's carry these comments in gold and silver over to the mining stocks. We've alluded to it a little bit. They have been peppier lately. It has been nice to see the majors getting a bid, some more volume coming in. We've even seen some of the big boys like Newmont, Barrick, Agnico Eagle outperforming the GDX. That kind of speaks to generalist investors possibly looking at the sector again as gold gets ready to, or at least it's close to its all-time high. How are you looking at the mining stocks, I guess, from the GDX and GDX standpoint first? And then we can dive down into the juniors after that.
GDX, you know, looks strong and it's breaking out. And it's a question now of how high it wants to go. The on the MACD and a momentum indicator on the monthly, the 12-month has separated from the 26-month. And that could move higher yet, or on the weekly I'm talking about, I'm sorry. That could move higher for a little while here yet, but then be a little careful, because when you get separation like that, when the turn comes, it often is pretty significant. So you're going to have to be watching the weekly on GDX. And as far as the monthly is concerned, it's still in its trading range. And I'm not going to get excited until it breaks out above its upper Bollinger band and stays above it for a couple of months. Then I'll get excited about the GDX. And then as far as the GDX, Jay is concerned on the smaller stocks, the same thing holds true. It's approaching its upper Bollinger band, but the MACD tells me the odds are that it's not ready yet to break out because the 12-month and 26-month moving averages are still confluent. And so you're going to have to be a little careful. That's how I read these charts right now. But it has to break out above the Bollinger bands. And we have to see separation from the 12-month over the 26-month on the momentum indicator or the MACD.
Doc, how do you go about comparing, again, where gold is now, 2,100, to the current levels of GDX, considering last time gold was at 2,100, GDX was around 41. And then the time before that in 2020, GDX was around 44. Right now, GDX sitting around, let's say, 32. How do you compare the two? As much as we've talked about how undervalued the stocks are, comparing the two charts really shows that.
Yeah, and that's why people have to be so careful. They get all excited every time we get something like this happen. And the good news is, I believe on the monthly chart, GDX now has seen its low. Often when you get a cyclical bear or a secular bear like you've seen here in GDX, what you want to see is ultimately often, and this isn't always true, but it often is, you want to see the Bollinger bands contract and squeeze the pricing, because when you see a breakout from that, you often know this is a significant move and it's going to go much higher. Well, the Bollinger bands are quite wide apart yet, and we're still in a trading range. Now, we do have a higher low from the low in 2022. And if we can maintain that higher low in GDX the next time we move down, then we're getting ready, I think, to break out of it.
Now, Doc, there's not really a good ETF to follow the juniors, and GDXJ is not a good example because most of the stocks in there are still seniors and mid-tiers and maybe the very largest advanced developers. So not really a good gauge on the juniors. But when you look at a lot of individual company charts in the juniors, you had made the point last time we talked to you that you thought most of them had bottomed. They do take longer to take off and catch up with the larger stocks, but how are you looking at the junior sector overall? And is there more risk to the seniors than the juniors still, in your opinion?
I think there's more risk yet to the producers than the juniors. And if you look at some of the juniors, they've broken up on this move. It could be a short-term move. You look at Impact Silver, which a lot of people like. That's finally moved up a little bit, which is encouraging, but that tells me that even if we move back down again, you're pretty close to your lows here. That's true with a lot of these others, juniors. But if you look at Newmont, which has had really good volume, the Bollinger bands are still quite wide apart on the monthly. And that signals to me that we might still have work in Newmont. And then you look at Hecla, on this move. Hecla's volume has been pathetic based on its move. So those are in opposition to how they're moving. And that worries me a little bit because I would like to see Hecla stronger and a higher volume on it, but the volume has not been impressive at all. And that's also true in the GDX. The volume has not been that great, or in GDXJ. So you have to be a little careful here yet. Yeah, I think we have a little bit of work to do yet in 2024. But I feel by the end of 2024, I think most of the bad news will be behind us. And we'll have by then formed a nice base for a lot of these stocks.
Doc, to your point about volume, though, we have seen just in this last week some very nice volume spikes in the large companies and in some of the smaller companies. But shouldn't we put more weight on those volume spikes in some of those majors outside of just GDX and GDXJ as a much more positive factor for the sector?
Yes, I would say yes, absolutely. But then you get Kinross, for instance, and you look at the volume spikes on a daily basis, and it's not any higher than it's been in the past. But Newmont now, very good volume, as I mentioned. So you're getting some discrepancies, but it's encouraging to see those discrepancies because some of them are actually giving you better volume. And that tells you that, you know, the worst is over for a lot of these stocks. You're not going to have the percentage moves down anymore that you saw all throughout this bear market. And you should be taking your positions over time on any pullbacks because it's encouraging to see this type of activity, frankly.
Well, Doc, I wanted to circle back around to a comment you made on our blog that deals with how the mining stocks may move once we see a breakout in the metals. We had a guest on that had mentioned in the late 70s, from 78 to 80, there was a big spike up in a lot of these companies, and he even mentioned Hecla as one of the examples. And it did all this catch up. It went up, I think, eightfold, tenfold in a very short amount of time, 2 years, when it had been stagnant as gold was channeling sideways. And you had made the point on our blog that you got to be careful expecting those same results because back in the 70s, there weren't all these other trading vehicles. There weren't ETFs. There weren't all these other speculative things like the cryptos or the meme stocks and the tech stocks. So you had said that we may not see the same kind of response this time on a big breakout in gold that we did see in the late 70s, for example. Could you unpack that thought a little bit more about how you're looking at how these stocks could actually move in a breakout scenario?
Yeah, and that's why I've been saying right along that it'll be a slow bottoming process for these things, you know, because there are so many other investable, if you want to call that a word, investable vehicles, especially like the cryptos, you know, as we mentioned, and Bitcoin. And others. But that's why I feel we're going to see a slow bottoming process for the silver and gold stocks. And I think that's begun. And then we're going to get to the point where something's going to give down the road. And we had talked about the bond market because I don't think the bear bond market is anywhere near over. And I don't think people realize that. And because I think we're moving into a trading range in the monthly chart on the bond. And then I think we see another leg lower, and that should be disconcerting because that means trouble ahead. But that actually, even though, you know, we don't like to see interest rates go up in relationship to the precious metal chart because everybody understands that, oh, nobody wants to hold these things when rates are so good. But that may not hold true this time because that tells me there's going to be a lot of volatility economically yet left for this country because we have major debt problems. So I do think we're bottoming here nicely. And if you take positions here, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for the big move down the road, but it will come.
Doc, let's get a quick comment on the broad markets then as well, because look, the broad markets have done pretty well throughout this year, but especially well in the last month as well. So there seems to be this risk on move. And I know we've heard from other guests that it's not broad based. It is being led by still, again, a handful of stocks, even a bit more than a handful of stocks. But either way, we've been talking about this wide range that markets were trading in. Quite frankly, markets went down through 2022, up through 2023. Where does that leave us in 2024?
Well, I'm not very positive on the conventional market. We have essentially had a cyclical bear so far. And the Bollinger Band on the monthly chart is starting to move up, the upper Bollinger Band, but I don't put a lot of credence in that. I think we might have a false breakout here, but I'm thinking of shorting the conventional market in the latter part of December because I think the January might be a difficult month for the conventional market. This is not a real market. We don't live with real markets anymore. And what's interesting is now a lot of people probably aren't going to believe this, but I feel that we've been in a essentially a bear market in these stocks since probably early 2000. Why I say that is this, and I don't hear people talking about this. If you go to the Case-Shiller P-E ratio and look at a chart, back in the early 2000s, we almost reached 45 as a peak. And then we moved back in 2008 down to about a 15 P-E ratio. And then we moved back up, and I think it was 2021, to about 38. And I think that's a peak again, but that's a lower high than it was back in the early 2000. And I think we're going to keep moving down in the Case-Shiller P-E ratio back toward the median or the medium over time. And it's going to take time. But I think the conventional market is not going to go anywhere on a huge basis any longer. I think that the odds of the secular bear market is still there. And I think that's going to we're going to start to see that happen again in 2024. And I think it's coming. And because this market is not real anymore, but I think it's slowly going to be affected by inflation. And we're going to be buffeted back to between higher interest rates, lower interest rates. And I think we're entering, as I said before, a decade where it's going to be very volatile.
Well, Doc, just to the point you made on valuations and PE ratios, we've brought this up with a lot of generalists and said, hey, you know, if you look at some of these tech stocks and they're in the 40 to 60, even 80. I mean, look at Amazon right now. It's got a 79 PE ratio, or Nvidia at one point was in the hundreds. Now it's come down to a sultry 64 PE ratio. But even that historically, as you point out, is very high. A lot of times the historical mean was between 16 to 18 for the PE ratios and valuations. But people say we're in a new normal now where stocks, especially tech stocks, can have PE ratios of 40, 50, 60, 70. Do you think that's legit, that we actually are in a new normal? Is it different this time? Or will those PE ratios and valuations fall in some of those mega cap tech stocks as we move forward?
I think that's baloney. And I've heard that, and I'm getting to be an old man. I used to hear that all the time. And then these people are always proven wrong. It's not a new normal. The only way that can happen is if that these markets are totally centralized and manipulated. That's the only way it can happen. Because if you go down through history, you'll hear that all the time, and then eventually you pay a price for that thought process. I don't believe that, and I can't accept that. And I'm waiting to see that proven correct.
All right, Doc, you know what? Let's leave it at that. There was a lot for us to talk about here to recap what happened in November and now look ahead to the end of the year and into next year. It was a much better year for investors this year, but for the precious metals investors, at least down into the stocks, we're seeing some life at the end of this year, maybe the well-needed turn and some momentum to the upside, which hasn't been seen for quite a while. Doc, thank you for taking time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on the weekend show. Again, please go back through our website and podcast, listen to all the daily editorials, and keep in touch with Chad and I. We'll be back with you next week. We hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.